Greg said he didn't see any unfamiliar faces. He didn't say they were smiling and beautiful faces. But I think so, because they're always a reflection of what's in the heart. And I hope this morning that your heart is filled with thanksgiving as we come together to recognize God's blessings. I want to invite you to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to continue John's theme this morning. I want to ask you the question, when you're thinking about a new baby, new child, what are the two most powerful words that you can teach that child? What's at the priorities? I recognize there's a lot of choices and there's probably no wrong answer in it. And it might be that you would recognize the two most important words are mama and daddy. And I say that because sometimes, you know, we get kind of competitive, you know, which is the baby going to say first. So we kind of prod them and help them and learn those two words and see how it plays out. In this area, in Alabama, you have some households that think the most two important words is either Roll Tide or War Eagle. And you have to remind yourselves, those have to be taught. They don't pick those up on their own, because they can betray you if you leave them on their own or leave them with other family members. And sometimes there's great delight in teaching them words that they know bring anxiousness because of what they learn first. But clearly, the two most powerful words that I want to remind us of is thank you. Because thank you, I think, sometimes we fail to realize just how much power those words have. Because what they do is they make that child aware of acts of kindness, of acts of consideration. It's really a door that is opened up to where they begin recognizing the source of happiness in their lives. And in doing that and connecting the two, the response is to show gratitude. And the words thank you, are very important to teach. And teaching them, one of the most powerful ways as a believer in a household of believers is you teach them to give thanks, by prayer. And you do that by example. It may be such to where you teach that young child to give thanks when it's time to eat. You give them the power and example of giving thanks at the end of the day, to where you remind them of who we are thankful for. And that's really how it tends to begin, doesn't it? To where it's really a presence, to where it's easily to identify the figures that are in their life. It's sometimes easy for us to forget that when it comes to this season of Thanksgiving, that what really initiated a lot of this was showing gratitude to divine goodness, and recognizing the source of goodness in the creation's life, and that's the Creator. And so God being recognized as the ultimate source of good, we designate a time of thankfulness and gratitude. Now, the power of gratitude, I think, is reinforced when we think about the fact that Paul warned Timothy in the last days, we're going to be living among a people that are not thankful. And what that suggests is gratitude has lost its power, especially gratitude toward divine goodness, toward God. And that's exactly where we live today. Is recognizing that God is, as a creator, is being minimized among His creation. And so I think sometimes we tend to forget just how important this virtue of gratitude is in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul expresses in this epistle of a great conflict he has in his life toward the Colossian brethren. It's really the brethren in Colossae and Laodicea that he's got on his mind, because he knows they're being targeted by false teaching. And so he expresses in verse 2 that it's his prayer that their hearts be encouraged, knit together in love, and that they have the full assurance of understanding about God and His purpose through Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about this, in verse 5 he says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now, what's on his mind is that they're going to go through challenging times. And the challenging times are such to where they're going to be moved away from the gospel of Christ. And in doing that, it's going to come in the form of popular teaching. It's going to come in the form, if you see in verse 8, through deceitful philosophy and empty words. And it's going to seem like that here's a path that you ought to follow, and that path is going to lead you away from the freedom that you have in your life in Jesus Christ. And he's concerned about that. So he challenges them to focus on their faith. And not just focus on their faith, but look how he describes it. You walk in Him rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now look at those components there. Rooted, that means you anchor yourself. You get yourself planted in this gospel of knowing who God is and how God purposed for you, and you build yourself up in that, and you establish yourself in that, and you abound in thanksgiving. Because you see, the more you focus on your faith, the more you focus on God. And the more you focus on God, you recognize what He's done for you through Jesus Christ. And it causes you to bow your head and be thankful. To be filled with gratitude. And that gratitude has power in it. And in that power is what I want to remind ourselves about this morning. So flip over to chapter 3. In chapter 3, I want to show you a couple of areas in which abounding in thanksgiving gives us power. It's what separates us from unbelievers, because there's so much about what we do as followers of Christ that reflects our gratitude. It's really why we're gathered here this morning. It's because we worship Him. It's why we sing the songs. Praise is a natural outpouring of thanksgiving. Prayer is always an avenue of prayer that we give. Even this morning in our giving, it's a reminder of what God has blessed us with, and our concern for Him and His kingdom and the work that we want to see done and the goodness that we want spread. Here in Colossians chapter 3, he's continuing the importance in his thinking about of establishing and being rooted and building up their faith. And he describes in verse 12 of what the characteristics ought to be like in our new life as a believer. And he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, and bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? And be thankful." Be thankful. Now, what his desire for them is that they might recognize that this life doesn't always have the harmony that we want it to have. And it's easy for us, even as believers sometime, to recognize that disappointment is really a characteristic of life this side of eternity. And so that's the reason he challenges us for the need of forgiveness, of the need of being long-suffering, of us recognizing there are times that we have a complaint against each other. And in doing that, the real frustration sometimes is that we lose our peace. But what he reminds us is this life of despair is not where God intends for us to be. If we'll be thankful, then it's a reminder that our heart only has so much capacity. We can't have a heart full of gratitude and a heart full of disappointment at the same time. If our hearts are full of gratitude, there's room for nothing else in this life that we have. There are three aspects that really, for a believer, kind of separates us in how we see the power of gratitude. One is, as a people, we are grateful for what we want. We get what we want. It's the highlight of our feeling of happiness. It's the highlight of emotions. And when we recognize that we are receiving what we want, then that is what teaches us to be grateful. But as believers, we move beyond that. We move beyond because we know the danger of living a life of just being entitled. We know the danger of living a life to where we tend to seek what we want and forget what blessings we have. We tend to find ourselves full of despair and discontentment because we want more. God intends for us to have peace and harmony in our relationship as we dwell in His love. But it begins by us being thankful. In Ephesians 4, there Paul has been talking about the characteristic of the new man. And he says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, it's interesting that we all should recognize as Christians, these characteristics shouldn't be in us. But it's fair to ask, how do we get rid of those? When he says, don't let these be part of your life, how do we get rid of them? In verse 32, he says, there's an alternative. That we should be kind to one another and tender-hearted and forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, when you start focusing on what God did through Christ for me, doesn't that lead you to be thankful? Doesn't it lead you to be grateful of recognizing the forgiveness that we have in Him? And the power of thankfulness is what takes away those qualities of bitterness and wrath and anger and malice, because you see, it takes away the despair and discouragement in our life. As we focus on what God's done for us and we count our blessings, that gratitude has power because it keeps us in the love of God and focused on the love of God. The epistle that Paul wrote to Philippians, and obviously Paul had a lot to say about gratitude and about the importance of it. In Philippians chapter 4, there's a reminder here that I want to share with you that if we're abounding in thanksgiving, then it removes any sense of anxiety that we may have as believers. Now, Paul puts it like this, beginning in verse 4 of Philippians 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And look at this. Here comes the peace again. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Now,
here he's reminding us that this awareness of peace and harmony with God does a lot to protect our hearts from anxiety, from things that are all around us that if we allow them to attach to our thinking are a source of worry, a source of struggling that pulls us away again from the peace that God provides to those that are His. It's for us the fact that if we are grateful, then it's impossible to be anxious all the time. Do we really need reminders about things to worry about? You can argue whether or not Christians really need a reminder to be thankful. Do we need a day really to be thanksgiving toward God? But the truth of the matter is, do we really need a reminder to worry? Because there are all things around us that easily attach to our thinking that leads us down the path of anxiety. Whether we're talking about our schools that our kids and grandkids are equipping themselves and coping with, whether we're talking about the challenge to a Christian marriage today, whether we're talking about building a place of refuge for our family, whether we're talking about the direction of the church, there are all kinds of areas in which if we began thinking about our tomorrow and our tomorrows and the tomorrow beyond that would be full of anxiety. But here we are reminded of the power of focusing on God and taking our request and opening them up to God and be mindful that we have a source of strength in our life that cares about what we're going through, cares about what we are facing. And here he is ready to help guard our hearts and to guard our minds in this life of growing and nurturing in Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us in chapter 5, verse 5, that as believers, we should be submissive to one another. That we're reminded of what we're in as this congregation of believers together. And as we are there for each other, we're reminded to be clothed with humility. And that humility is such to where we know where our blessings come from. And in those blessings, we know that God's the source of our goodness. And we know how important bowing our head and being humble to Him is. The reminder is God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Are you grateful for that? That He cares for you. And there are many things that we attach our emotions to in this life that could care less that we exist. Could care less about our feelings. Could care less about our future. Could care less about how we face tomorrow. And there are times in which even as we are submissive to one another, there are cares of this life that pulls us away to where our focus is not on our brother and sister in Christ. God's not that way. To be mindful that God cares for us and demonstrates it again and again through His mercy and His loving kindness, it has power in it. And that gratitude leads us back to Him with our heads bowed and our hearts full of worship. And when we're focusing on Him in our everyday lives, then it leads us from the uncertainties that this world brings and leads us back into the safety of living for Him. In Ephesians chapter 5, right after chapter 4 that we just looked at, I want to remind you that abounding in this thanksgiving also is powerful to us because we're still influenced by the world. And even though we have committed to put on the new creature and allow God to shape us through His Spirit, through the Word, and through the power of scriptures, there still is a powerful pull on us by the impact of the darkness and ungodliness of this world. And so Paul is focused on this life as a new creature, but recognizes that it's very easy for us to be pulled back by the negative influence of sin. So he begins chapter 5 by again challenging us to walk in love. And the focus of love is Christ. He loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's what we're thankful for. That's what we gather here together, is to honor God and express our gratitude and thanksgiving for salvation in Jesus Christ. But notice verse 3. In verse 3 he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather what? Giving of thanks. Now the most powerful aspect of that is to recognize that when we count our blessings, and we recognize that God's the reliable source of our blessings, it leads us away from all of the gimme nature of this world. That's really the danger and the temptation of fornication or covetousness is our old mentality to give me. It's all about me. And to talk in a way that degrades others and is embarrassing in the presence of God. It's about me and expressing myself. And it's just who I am. It's a heart of ungratitude. And he says, that's not the way a believer should be. A believer is characterized by giving of thanks. You know, when I grew up, there were many birds that got my attention because I had a BB gun. So I looked at birds. And the easiest target out there was the black crow. And that crow was a bird in many ways I thought could easily be sacrificed. I mean, you think about it. Is the most prominent time that I would see it would be sitting on the fence looking at my father's garden and wanting to have that gimme mentality. He was the reason that our grapes never turned out good. But you looked at this old nasty bird, and the most time you saw it was related to roadkill. Because you'd be driving down and there'd be an old black crow entertaining himself with a dead animal. And so, to me, that bird could be wasted. There was another bird that my mother taught me to discover that I never knew existed. And that was a hummingbird. I never noticed hummingbirds. I noticed the butterflies, but I always failed to see the hummingbird. And the most remarkable difference between those two birds is you got one that is spending its time around rottenness and dead animals, and the other that spends its time around life and beauty and things that are growing. And what I always fail to realize is that both birds will always find what they're looking for. And you know, that's the way we are, is that we can focus on things of the world. We can focus on things that bring life. But we'll always find what we're looking for. And when we're unthankful, we lose the power that God has given us to stay focused on Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 15. In verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, the powerful thing about that verse is the second level of gratitude. The first level of gratitude is I'm grateful for getting what I want. Here, we're reminded that we are grateful for getting things that we don't want. Here, he says, in everything. In everything, the command is give thanks. And recognizing that this is the will of God. And this is the will of God for those of us that are in Christ. We teach our child to say thank you. Let me ask you this. In the beginning, did you ever teach them to tell that nurse that just stuck them with a needle, now before you get down, say thank you? It's not going to work. They're not going to stop crying long enough to give thanks. And you see, as believers sometimes, we're the same way. but in recognizing that there are things that are going on in our life that we don't want, but God is with us and cares for us and is strengthening us and is helping build up our faith, establish our faith, getting our roots deeper, giving us more power. Because when we're able to be thankful in everything, then that's a demonstration that we're different from the world and we're walking with God. Because not only does He care for us, but He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. And I will tell you what really separates you from the world is because you've reached the third one. It's not just about being thankful when you get what you want, or being thankful when you get what you don't want, but it's being thankful when you get what you don't deserve. And you see, that's where God comes into the picture. It's because He blesses us in ways in which we would all confess we don't deserve. That the love and the mercy and the blessings that He's brought into our life, it's not because we were such a good friend to God. It's not because of our faithfulness to God. It was not because we were the neatest person that was the most worthy of all that He had to give. We are thankful to God because He gives us what we don't deserve. And when we look not just at the physical blessings that He gives us and not just the relationships that He has blessed us with that have made impacts upon who we are and the character that we have, it's the fact that through Jesus Christ, He delivered us from darkness and He gave us deliverance from our sins and a better hope of eternal life. We don't deserve that. Because in our stubbornness and our life of sin, we are so undeserving. But you see, that's why we gather today as believers. That's why we sing praises that reach our hearts. That's why we pray how we pray. And that's why we give of what He has blessed us with. And it is a sacrifice that we would do again and again and again. Because you see, when you have the power of gratitude, then it's a season to where you know who the giver of all good gifts is. And so you're thankful for God the Father. But am I thankful enough to worship Him with all my heart, with all my soul, and to love Him and to live for Him in this new creation? I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. But am I grateful enough to follow Him and obey Him and to accept the gift of life that came through the shedding of His blood? I'm thankful for the Spirit. But am I thankful enough of the Spirit of God to allow Him to shape me and mold me and take me down a path that helped me fill up with the fruits that are there to show the characteristics and virtues of somebody that belongs to Him? I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for you. But are we thankful enough that we pray for each other and we submit to each other and that we recognize this peace and harmony that has come through God the Father is a peace and harmony that this community needs? Enough to where we would hold up the banner of the cross and say, we've got to go out there. We've got to seek those that are wandering and need the same deliverance. And when I think about the Scriptures and the power of the Scriptures and the power that is there to guide us and to direct us, it is our very source of where our gratitude comes. And it's that Word that must be obeyed for us to ever see the true nature of God, of Jesus the Son, and the Spirit who gives life. It is our great desire that this season of thanksgiving might be such to where our hearts are right with God. And you see, what He's done through gratitude is He's given us power. Power to enjoy the peace that forgiveness of sins brings. Deserve it? No. Not at all. But the two most powerful words God would like to hear is thank you. Thank you for loving me above all others and giving me the hope of life in you. I hope you have a great time around the table, but may you never forget the table in which God brings you to and the chair that He slides up, but you don't deserve it all. But it is the feast. The great feast and the love and the abiding within His family that only comes through Jesus Christ. Won't you let go of your sins? Won't you repent of an unthankful heart? And won't you commit that life to become a worshiping heart full of gratitude for the blessings that are in salvation in Jesus Christ? This day, repent. This day, become a new creature if you've never been baptized into Christ. This day, come into the fold of the Father and recognize the peace and harmony that is there. All things are ready. If we can help you now, won't you come together while we stand and sing?